Colossians chapter 3. And I want to read in your hearing verses 15, and we will read through verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. I want to focus your attention, from which our lesson will come, on verse 15, where it says, there's a peace of God that rules the heart. Also, he emphasizes that you and I are called into one body. But he ends by saying that because of this, you and I ought to be thankful. I want to use for a subject based on our text, a good position to be in. A good position to be in. Riding on an airplane and being in the center seat is not a good position to be in. When you're on a tight schedule, suddenly you're caught in a traffic jam. That's not a good position to be in. When you pay all your bills and you have money left over, now that's a good position to be in. Would you not say with me, much of life is about positioning? When you look at the presidential candidates, they're all strategizing for positions. Walmart investments. Your stock is about positioning. Even where you work, your position dictates a lot about where you work. The world we live in is all about position. Usually that determines whether you're successful, whether you have a good day, or whether your life is met with satisfaction. The world we live in doesn't afford us many opportunities to say, I'm in a good position. A good position today may be a negative one. I started to say tomorrow, but it could be a negative one even today, because you really don't know. But what I want you to know, that Christ, being in the body of Christ, being in Christ, allows us to always be in a good position. You and I are in a good position, number one, because of the peace of God. And the peace of God is something that I believe, once you understand it, you will greatly appreciate it, and you will recognize that you're really in a good position because of it. Now, when I think about peace, all of us know that to have a peace of mind is what we all treasure and need. Money does not give you a peace of mind. For there are many people who have money and have all this world can afford them, but they don't have a peace of mind. Lamar Odom can go and have $75,000 to get him peace of mind and not have that kind of blessing. When you think in terms of peace, the Bible says that this is the peace of God which rules. Peace meaning state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. It is the absence of war, antagonism, strife. It means to be bound, joined, and weaved together. It means to be assured, confident, and secure in the love and the care of God. It means to know that God will take care of us, no matter the problem or circumstance. It means to be absolutely assured that God will allow nothing to swamp us or to defeat us. If you and I have this peace of God, then we have, I believe, the state of mind that all of us need and desire. But the peace of God is seen in three ways. Number one, if one has peace, he must have peace, first of all, with God. Secondly, he must have peace with his fellow man, and then he can experience the peace that comes from God. Peace with God is so important because the Bible tells us that in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch the position. You have peace with God, but it's when you have the position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, you and I could not have peace with God. The Bible tells us that our sins, our iniquities, are those things that separate us from God. Isaiah 59:1. But because of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his giving of his life for us, you and I can stand before God justified. Just as though we had never sinned or been guilty of iniquity in our lives. To know that I have access to God, to know that I am a friend of God, means so much as I think of my existence and my response to life. God and I are friends. There's no war between God and myself. There's no barriers between God and myself. When you know that you can have access to God, that is a good position to be in. But the peace of God is not only something that helps us to understand this peace with God, but it's also peace with our fellow man. You cannot have the peace with God and not have peace with your fellow man. Well, how do you know, Brother Gibbs? For in Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to go back with me, and I want to begin at verse number 19, Colossians 1, 19. And I want to show you that you can't have peace with God unless you have peace with your fellow man. For watch the Bible. The Bible said, for it pleased the Father that, watch the position, in him all the fullness should dwell. Verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, position. In him is Christ. Himself is God. God wants to reconcile all things to himself, God. But it's by him. Whether things on earth, things in heaven, watch our word, having made what? Peace. But that peace is what? Through the what? The blood of his cross. Watch verse number 21. And you, who once were alienated and watch enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. That's all about positioning now. Watch verse number 22. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Now, we all want peace. But I'm telling you, the peace of God that rules a man's life is because that man has peace with God, and that man is also reconciled in the body with his fellow man. Put up on the screen for me Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to look at verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. And watch what the Bible says. Ephesians 2 and verse number 14. Ephesians 2 and verse number 14. There we go. For he himself, watch our word. For he himself is what? Our peace. Our peace. Who hath made what? Both what? One. Now, I'm talking about positioning now. Because it's a good position to be in Christ. Because you have peace with God. But now that same peace that you have with God is a peace that he had made for your fellow man. And he himself is our peace, Christ, who had made both one and had done what? Broken down the what? The middle wall of what? Separation. Watch verse number 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's the hatred between men, and between God and man. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinance. So to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making what? Peace. Now, the peace of God, and I tell you now, I'm talking about the peace of God, is all about positioning. When a man is in Christ, that means that that man has peace with God. But that same peace that he has with God is a peace that he must have with his fellow man. Are you with me? So when we talk about the wonderful position, know that the peace of God is that which brings us and rules our lives. Well, I want you to see that if you have peace with God, peace with our fellow man, and this is now positioning you for peace from God. Well, how do you know, Brother Gibbs? John 14, 27. Put that on the screen. John 14, 27. Now I want you to watch this now. John 14, 27. John 14, 27. All right, beautiful. Now watch this now. I'm working with him because I need peace between you and me up there. Amen. Now watch this now. Now watch this. Peace I what? I what? I leave with you. My peace I what? Give to you. Not as the what? World gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Neither let it be what? Afraid. I won't say, leave it up there now. The peace of God that rules my heart. It rules my heart because, number one, I know I got peace with God. There's no war, antagonism. There's well-being between God and me. Reason I got peace in my heart is because there's no war, no antagonism, only well-being between me and my fellow man. So when my peace is, number one, vertical, and my peace is horizontal. Now God is giving my heart and my mind peace. Now this peace doesn't come from Walmart. This peace is not in a pill bottle. This peace you don't get from any of these universities. They don't even have a course. Amen. You can't even get a major in this kind of peace. Amen. He said, the peace I give you, you don't have to earn it. God said, I'll give it to you. Not as the world gives peace, do I give you. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Neither let it be what? Afraid. Now, I'm telling you, it's a mighty good position to be in when you know you got peace of mind. Well, I remember the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Now watch this now. Watch him. Watch the word. And the what? And the peace of God. Which what? Surpasses what? All understanding. What will it do? Watch him now. Wait. It'll what? It'll guard your what? Your heart and your what? Your minds. But it's through Christ Jesus. So when a man is in Jesus, his mind has peace because he has peace with God and he has peace with his fellow man. Help me to understand. How could Paul be in a Roman prison not knowing whether he would live or whether he would die? It's because the man was in that prison and he had peace. And the peace that he had, it was a peace from God. But it was because he had peace with God and he had peace with his fellow man. Now, I'm telling you, that's a wonderful blessing to have in Jesus Christ. When you are positioned in Christ, you will experience this kind of peace. Well, notice now, it's a good position to be in to also be called into the one body. Well, Brother Gibbs, why do you say that? Well, call carries the idea. Now, sometime I may call and the person on the other line, I just say, I just wanted to see how you were doing. Now, that's I called them, but I really didn't want anything from them. It was just a matter of being courteous. Well, that's not the kind of call that he's talking about. The call he's talking about is where you get a call from the selective services, and they tell you that you have to appear before the draft board. Now, when a man gets that call, that's a call to duty. Am I right about it? That means I'm calling you because there is a duty and a responsibility. When you get a summons from the court and you have to appear at the and be what they call, you know what y'all get, those summons that say that you need to be a Now that's a call, but that's a call for what? Duty. And there is a responsibility to be carried out. Well, it's the same way with this call into the body of Christ. The Lord has called us into the body of Christ in order for us to perform a duty, for us to perform a service. Calling us is a privilege because he's called us into one body. Now, that one body is the church. How do I know? Colossians 1:24. Notice he said, I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So when he calls us into one body, he is calling us into one church. And he's calling all nations into this one body, Jews and Gentiles, bond and free. Are you with me? That's why it's so unique for us to all be called into this body. But what's unique about this body is that there is a peace within this body, a peace that God has given to this body that does not exist anywhere else in this world. And that's because God has called us all to participate in one fellowship, abiding in Christ. So it's about position. Now, the reason this is so important is because you have so many people that are different and so many people who have different ethnicities, all of that. They come from different backgrounds, but yet and still, they all come together in this one body. Now, when I thought of this, I read an article in the Reader's Digest, and this is the way it talked about a tree. And I thought this was interesting. I think it applies to the one body that we're being called into. It said, what good is a tree? And it explained, when the roots of trees touch, there is a substance present that reduces competition. Now, I want you to think about that. When the roots of trees touch, there's a substance that is produced that causes those two trees not to compete against one another. I say, that is interesting. And it went on to say, in fact, this unknown fungus helps link roots of different trees, even of dissimilar species. A whole forest may be linked together if one tree has access to water, another to nutrients, and a third to sunlight. But the trees have the means to share with one another. Like trees in a forest, Christians in the church need to support one another, and this is the beauty of being called into the body of Christ. And I asked myself, I said, what is that which brings us all together in this one fellowship? What is it that causes us not to have competition one another, but be supportive of one another and encouraging one another? And I said, it's all because when you get in the body of Christ, there's a fungus, if you don't mind. There is a substance that God puts into the body of Christ that causes us to come together in order to support one another and to do what needs to be done. And I asked myself, I said, well, Brother Gibbs, what do you think that is? So I had to go back to Colossians. Now, work with me now. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to begin at verse number 12. Colossians 3 and verse number 12. And I said, now, when the Spirit of God is a part of the body of Christ, there are certain things that exist in the body that causes it to be able to support one another and to grow. Now, watch this. Verse number 12. The Bible said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here's what exists in the body. Put on, everybody in the body must put on tender mercies. You may be Jew. You may be a Gentile. You may be a black man, white man. But he said, if you're going to be in my body, you're going to have to put on tender mercies. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Watch verse number 13. Bearing with one another. When I read that in another translation, it said, put up with one another's faults. And I said to myself, I said, you know, we are people who love to find fault, but we're not the kind of people who want to put up with one another's faults. See, you don't realize that there's so much that we have to put up with one another. It's not always a matter of us changing and being what we ought to be, but sometimes you got to put up with the fault. If you got a blemish on your body, it may never go away. But I tell you what, man, listen, if I got a blemish on my body, my wife still loves me. You know why? Because she looked past the blemish and she knows, amen, that man is all right. Bearing with one another. I know that wasn't a good illustration, but anyway, I made it. Now watch this now. You know, if she can't cook cornbread, man, she may never learn how to cook cornbread. But I tell you what, you bear with that girl, and you don't make it an object. We got peace. We don't tear up the house because she can't cook cornbread. I'm meek, I'm humble. I know I need to quit. And forgiving one another. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Everybody in the body ought to have this kind of substance and this kind of disposition and attitude. And this is what causes the body to be able to come together and share with one another, because we're not fault finders. We are supportive of one another. We're forgiving one another. And the Bible says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ, what? Forgave you. So you also must what? Do. Verse number 14. Here's the clincher. But above all these things, put on what? Love. Which is the what? The bond of perfection. So the idea is that love is the thing that ties all of these wonderful attributes together. And when everybody in the body has meekness, humility, tender mercies, forgiving attitude, forbearance with one another, and they're bound up in love, then that's how the body is able to be nurturing and be supportive. And I guarantee you, you will not find this kind of attitude and spirit anywhere else in the world. You won't find it in Washington. You won't find it on your job. You won't find it anywhere but in the Church of Christ. It's all about being in a good position. And as I close, I want you to see that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. Whether we be what? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Whether we be what? Bond or free. And have been all what? Made to do what? Drink from the what? Same spirit. That's the spirit of love. These are the things that hold this body of people together. Being in this position, we have peace that rules the heart. We have a body that is supported, nurturing, because all of us are uniform in our attitude and in our spirit. And then he said, and be thankful. I'm glad that he said be thankful, because you understand that because of the uniqueness of this blessing, this positioning that we have, we know that we ought to be thankful to God, because we understand that we really don't deserve it. It's not because of our goodness. It's not because we merit it. It's because God is good enough to give us this position in Christ Jesus. That's why I put this on the screen, Colossians 2, verse number 6. And I want to show you as I close. He said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. But then he says, I need you to be what? Rooted. And what? Built up in him. Established in the faith. Are you with me? As you have been what? Taught. Watch this now. Abounding with what? Thanksgiving. God says, I need you to understand that when you get in Christ, when you're rooted in Christ, when you're established in Christ, you ought to understand that I have a position. I have a fellowship. I have a communion that I don't have anywhere else in the world. And I need to learn to be thankful for it. Because when I get in Christ, that's where you and I are tremendously blessed. In Christ, we have salvation. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10. In Christ, all spiritual blessings are there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. In Christ, we have redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. In Christ, we have forgiveness of sin. That's Ephesians 1, verse number 7. In Christ, we are new creations and new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. In Christ, you and I have reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 18. In Christ, you and I are blessed even in our death. Because I heard him say, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Henceforth said the Spirit, they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. When a man is in this position in Christ, he's blessed with salvation. He's blessed with the spiritual blessing. He's blessed with redemption, blessed with forgiveness, blessed with being a new creation in Christ, blessed with reconciliation, blessed even in his death. I don't know nobody. I don't know any entity. I don't know any company that can give you these kind of benefits. It's a blessing to be in Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's the fountain of life. He's the light of life. He is the path of life. He's the way of life. He's the prince of life. He is the prince of peace. When a man is in this position, he's in a good position to be. Let me end by telling you that when you're in Christ, here is another thing that becomes a tremendous blessing, and you ought to be thankful. The Bible said all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. Them that love God and are called according to his purpose. When a man is in Christ, here is a good privilege good benefit. He said that all things will work together for the good of them that, first of all, love God and are called according to his purpose. That means that when you do things and they don't go away or according to the way that you think they should have gone, God still can take your bad situation, your negative situation, and he can turn it around and turn it out for your good. I don't know any other position that a man can find himself in that he has these kinds of wonderful benefits. Peace with God. Peace with fellow man. Peace from God. Bonnie that nurturing. Bonnie that supporting. Bonnie that's able to keep being able to bring about the things that make us all better and makes the world better. And then to be thankful. I'm ashamed of us. So many of us want to go to God and talk to God about our problems, talk to God about our situation. But God says, I just need you to be a little more thankful when you come to me. Don't always come to me with your problem. You ought to come to me, and thank me. Because you see, some of us think that all of the things that's going on in our lives, that we don't deserve them and we shouldn't have them. But I got news for you. I don't care whatever you experience. There's always some reason to be thankful to God Almighty. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibb, my lights are out in my house and I don't have the money to pay for them. But you ought to think about there's some folk who don't even have a house. They're in worse shape than you. You ought to thank God that at least I got a house. Am I right about it? Somebody say, well, Brother Gibb, I'm not able to, I don't have but one pair of shoes and I feel like I need more shoes. Well, thank God you at least have some one pair of shoes, and then maybe you ought to come in contact with some folk who've been had their feet amputated. Come in contact with some folk who are in wheelchairs, and you'll find out, thank God, that I still got some feet. Am I right about it? You and I were just always complaining to God, always got some problem to take to God. Sometime you ought to just stay with God and just say, I thank you. I thank you that you gave me breath. I thank you that you woke me up this morning. I thank you that I'm in my right mind. I thank you that I can put one foot in front of the other. I thank you that I can take my hand. I can raise my arm. I thank you, God. If you spend more time thanking God, I tell you, you'll suddenly find out I really don't have any complaints. Amen. I'll come back to you next time, God. I forgot about what I really came to you for. I got so busy thanking you that I couldn't even think about what the reason that I had a problem. Am I right about it? Well, am I spitting all over everything? Amen, amen, amen. You know I'm telling the truth. Man, it's a mighty good position to be in. Amen, amen. All right. I got carried away. But anyway, I want this passage. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and by supplication. And then watch him, he says, and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, brother, let me tell you what he's talking about. He said, I don't mind you coming to me with your supplications and with your prayers. But bathe them. Put them in an envelope. And address that envelope with thanksgiving. Don't come to me if you can't find some reason to say thank you. And we're going, I'm telling you, peace of mind, peace with God, peace with your fellow man comes because you recognize being in God, in the body, is a great position to be in. So I'm asking you, if you're not in the body, you haven't learned the great position that you're in, maybe you're not even in this great body. I'm asking you to get in this position. Get in Christ. Get into this wonderful fellowship and relationship where unity is, where bonding takes place, where God is able to be glorified. I'm asking you to come here. You got a marriage, and you're not part of it. I'm asking you to bring yourself and your marriage into the body of Christ. God will bless it. You say that I want to experience a certain I just drew a blank, but I know what I'm trying to say, but the word won't come to me. Career, that's the word I'm looking for. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, I got a certain career that I want. I'm asking you, take your career, your aspirations for your career, bring them into this fellowship, and you make sure that this fellowship becomes the center of your being. And I guarantee you that once you experience what's going on in here, whatever career you're in, it will blossom. It will grow because you're being nurtured from this wonderful experience of the body of Christ. I don't know where you are, but I'm begging you, get in Christ. Get in this position. You come by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. Once you are baptized, then he puts you into this position. He gives you his Holy Spirit, and now you're being able to grow and to nurture. Stay rooted and grounded, and watch what God will do. If you're not in Christ, I'm asking you to come. If you're in Christ and you straight away rededicate your life, come right now while we stand and sing, will you come?
Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus calleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweetest cry of love and pity calleth, turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will.